Would the children come forward, please? Sure are a lot of girls up here, aren't there, Dylan?
And one boy.
And one boy, yes, yes. We've got Annika and Dylan and Cora. Haven't seen you for a bit. Glad you're back. We've got Lindsay and Lauren and Kara. Kara, okay, sorry. Sometimes I forget. What have I got in this bottle?
Water.
I have water in this bottle. When we cry, what are tears made out of mostly?
Water.
They're made out of water, aren't they? Yeah. So sometimes water can remind us of tears. And they can wash away bad feelings. We know from scientists that they even wash away when we're feeling all scared and nervous and everything. Some of the things that make us feel that way, some of the chemicals actually wash out in our tears. So it may even help us physically. But, you know, tears are kind of complicated. Probably among your friends, you might have heard things like, don't cry, don't be a baby. You might have heard a grown-up say, be a big girl or be a big boy, don't cry. And some grown-ups even hear, well, men aren't supposed to cry. But you know what? Even Jesus cried. He cried quite a few times that we know of for sure. And it's written down in the Bible, lots of the times that he cried. One of the times he cried was when he was looking out over the whole city of Jerusalem, and he cried because they weren't listening to him, and they weren't listening to how to become peaceful. And so he cried for them. He was sad that they weren't listening and that they couldn't hear the good news that he had to share. And one of the times that Jesus cried, he came to his friend's house. He had friends called Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They were sisters and a brother. And when he came, he found out that Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, had died. And the women were crying, and their friends were around them and helping them, and they were all crying too. It was so sad that Lazarus had died, because he wasn't an old person. He was pretty young, and he died. And when Jesus saw his friends crying about the death of Lazarus, he cried too. He was very sad, and he cried. So don't let anybody ever tell you that you shouldn't cry. Because sometimes crying's a very good thing. Anybody have anything they want to share?
A prayer.
A prayer, yeah, we're going to get to that. Is there anything else we should share? I have some Easter erasers and some balloons in my pocket, so you can choose from that when we're done, all right? Okay, let's make a circle. Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth to teach us how to live, to show us how to love people with all your heart. We thank you that you are with us when we're sad, when we're happy, when we're scared, and that you taught us that it's okay to cry. We thank you for being with us every single day. And we say together, Amen. Very good. And I have balloons and I have erasers. Okay, there should be plenty. You could probably, I think you can each take one of each if you want. There's some carrots and bunnies and ducks. All right, everybody got what they want?
I'm going to take both too.
Okay, that's fine. Mrs. Bohr has bells for you to play today. Hooray. Thank you for coming up. Please, would you pray with me? Holy God, we lay our troubles at your feet. Help us to leave our worries, our fears, and our pain with you. May we hand over our anger and all our excesses. Strip us of all our idols now and then, that we might see only you. May we always be grateful, kind, and loving. May we make you proud. Jesus, help us trust you. Help us remember all that you risked, all that you sacrificed, all you endured just to love us. May we love one another with your reckless abandon. May we love so much the world notices. Spirit, holy breath, call us, shape us, use us, forgive us. Help us hear, help us follow, help us rest secure in your peace. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. From John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 47. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha and her sister. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said,
This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
Let us go to Judea again.
The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.
The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Your brother will rise again.
So I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
The teacher is here and is calling for you.
And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it.
Take away the stone.
Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth.
Unbind him and let him go.
Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. Here ends the reading from the 11th chapter of John. My message this morning is called Disturbing Jesus. Dare I say, it seems death has been hovering too close of late. Death's like Lazarus, too young, hit most of us harder. Jesus had lost his cousin, John the Baptist, and now another contemporary, his friend Lazarus. It seems he was calm from a distance, pontificating about how the illness would reveal God's glory. Then he arrived. Mary and Martha and their friends were weeping, brokenhearted. Perhaps the women were even concerned for their future without their brother to provide and protect. Maybe some of those tears were hurt. They had sent for Jesus, and he did not come. If only he had heard their pleas. But their brother was dead, washed, wrapped, and entombed. And 4 days later, all they could do was weep. Then Jesus showed up. He was disturbed by their grief. He cried with them. We like to think of Jesus as God elevated so far above us, but most of the stories show a lot of humanity. He had told everyone Lazarus's illness would not lead to death. No need to hurry. He was wrong. The faces around him were sorely disappointed and wet with tears. Ever make promises you are unable to keep? Jesus was disturbed. Death. What does death do to us? How does it shape us? What do we ask? How does death affect the way we live? What does death make us think? Hope, fear, wonder. Sometimes they ask the pastor. Too often they want a one-word confirmation of what their mom said or they read somewhere. God has a plan. God needed an angel. Her work here was done. Maybe I have simply thought too much about these things, but I cannot always agree. When someone makes all the worst choices and gets cancer, when someone drives drunk and kills your husband, that death does not feel like God's plan. I may have more time with professional theologians, but there are no peaks behind the curtain for any of us. Truthfully, though, we all want to know, are you absolutely certain I will be in a better place? Why did he have to go so soon? What is heaven like? Why me? Do we go to God right after death or at some distant judgment day? We hear the story of Lazarus and have even more questions. Was he happy to be brought back? Did he live with greater joy? Did he recall an afterlife? Did Jesus raise Lazarus for his sisters? For Lazarus' sake? For Jesus' sake? To prove the power of God moving through him? If we had answers, would we then accept quietly? Or would we argue, my kids need me, God. I can do more good here. Is it really the answers we need? To each his own, but others' answers usually do not reassure me. No matter how kind or how wise, they are human thoughts. All we have are human thoughts. They do not always touch the quaking heart, the child at the feet of Jesus saying, tell me again about tiny faiths the size of mustard seeds and a kingdom where the children, the oppressed, and the poor are the most welcome. Tell me again about the valley of dry bones come to life. Because what we really seek under all the questions is security. We want to be held tight on Papa's lap, certain no harm can ever come. No monsters under our beds will ever be as fierce as the God who loves us. Oh, but how to believe, deeply believe, with all our hearts and our souls and our minds, I believe. Most of us, though, cry in the night as Jesus did. Most of us sweat through desperate prayers at one time or another. We may even cry out to our Creator, why have you forsaken me? Jesus did. All he knew, all the power that coursed through him, and he too felt bereft, abandoned, afraid. Ever wonder why our biblical heroes are so thoroughly imperfect? Why they whined and cheated and doubted the God they had talked to face? Imperfect heroes. How else might we be convinced that it is okay to stumble, run away, plead, and argue with the Father, the Mother of us all? You just know that Ezekiel looked at that valley of skeletons and thought, no way, Jose. We've heard Nicodemus say, how can this be? We heard Jesus praying, take this cup from me. No matter our doubts, our fears, our grief, those we trust went before us. If King David went off the rails and remained the Lord's beloved, surely forgiveness and love can squeeze us into. We know our Savior did not want to be killed, yet he did not resist. The Apostle Paul said Jesus made himself a slave. So Bible stories and teachings can reassure us in our imperfection. We can lean on a God of steadfast love, confide in a Savior who weeps with us, is disturbed by our sorrow. As well, blessedly, we are not alone in our worries, because we are not alone in our journeys. Ever have someone tell you they did not need to go to church to be a Christian? When we are baptized, our faith family promises love and support, not just in childhood, throughout life's joys and sorrows. We learn to love in community. We learn to love by loving crabby, foolish people like ourselves. When we hold dinners after funerals and memorials, I often pray thanks for those who hold us when we cry. To be surrounded by people who will bring us food and listen to us ramble is a great, great blessing. Those who look us in the eye and ask, really, how are you doing? You lost your loved one. You fell off the wagon. You flunked out of school. You are still unemployed. No matter what, we are still here. You are still one of us. You can still keep putting one foot in front of the other. See Mrs. Smith, see Mr. Brown. We learn some Bible stories at church, but we learn to live a faithful life by watching it done. We learn to love our spouses, our families. We learn to ask for help. We learn to get back up when life hits us with sucker punches. We learn to live out real, tested faith by watching those who have already been there, done that. We learn to trust the Holy Spirit when we are being held by flesh and blood saints. Once, as a hospital chaplain, I was called to a death that became a resurrection. Except the very old Lazarus was mad as a hornet. She had been ready to die. Her daughter made the medical staff bring her mother back to life. Moments later, I stood near as mother scolded daughter. "It is my time. You have to let me go." The strength and confidence of one who had just been dead bowled me over. Barbara Brown Taylor tells of a middle-aged man in her congregation who had buried three friends in quick succession. He feared he was next. Eventually, a childhood memory came to him. When he was a teen, his pals would play near the river, swimming in the calms. And as youths will do, they rigged up a high rope above the swiftly moving stream. They would dare each other, finally swinging out way above the river, drop below the rapids, and eventually come up and out downstream. Finally, the storyteller took hold of the rope, his buddies goading him. He swung out in a great arc and willed his hands to let go. Not happening. Soon he was dangling above the river, waiting for his friends to pull him back to shore. But one day, much later, he swung out and let go. He went down, up, and out to the cheers of his buddies. Reverend Taylor asked how he did it. He said it was because of his friends. They had all gone ahead of me. I had watched each of them let go, and finally I just made up my mind that if they could do it, I could do it too. Without knowing what would happen, without knowing whether I would make it or how it would be, I just opened up my hands and let go, because I wanted to join those who had gone ahead of me. Watching his friends die, he thinks maybe when it is his time, he can let go too. Yeah, nice story, but his friends all popped up downstream and lived to leap another day. No one comes back and encourages us after death. Really? No one? Long ago, there was a prophet of God named Ezekiel who saw a great valley of dry white bones. He heard them rattle. He watched them take flesh, rise, and breathe again. Then there is a story about a family that Jesus loved. The brother Lazarus died, and after seeing his sisters weep, Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. And in a couple of weeks, the whole of Christendom will celebrate Easter, because after injustice, torture, and death, Jesus rose again. He reassured, he fed people, he still spoke of peace, and he kept saying, "Do not be afraid." As we make funeral dinners, listen to one another's stories, and reveal God's love to each other in our imperfect ways, we shuffle arm in arm through this deadly journey we call life. It is deadly, for no one gets out alive. E.E. Cummings wrote a poem about life and death. It goes in part, "Since feeling is first, who pays any attention to the syntax of things will never wholly kiss you. Holy to be a fool while spring is in the world. My blood approves, and kisses are a better fate than wisdom, lady. I swear by all flowers. For life is not a paragraph, and death, I think, is no parenthesis. Do not be afraid. Death is not what defines our journeys. Jesus sent people out without a purse, without a spare pair of undies. If you watch your feet, you will never learn to dance." Anyone who pays too much attention to the details of the rules will never swing out and leap boldly. We are alive to be kind and forgive and feed sheep and do justice and to love God and to love each other. Amen.
Held secure, go into the world and leap boldly.